Yo, what's up, y'all? What's up, Square Pimp Brigade? On this episode, we have Simeon Goodson. He's here. We discuss relationships falling apart during COVID, finding yourself single in China, people being jealous of you being comfortable, and how to find your own space. This is a good one. This is my man, Sim, back from Dubai and China and doing comedy all over the world.
Yeah, great, crazy story about what's going on with Simeon, and like a lot of fun, but also... do us a favor, follow us over on Patreon, patreon.com/manschool202. That's where we do all the bonus content, bonus shows, listener mail, stuff like that. And it helps support the show and helps us keep going. So patreon.com/manschool202. This week, we're just going to be doing some listener mail and bonus content on the Patreon exclusive episode. For Dante's consultations, go to DanteNero.com. If you want to consult with me, you can find me via email, advicefromharry@gmail.com, for any type of dating, sex, relationship, or just life advice. Advicefromharry@gmail.com.
I'm not an alpha male. I'm not a beta male either. I'm just a better man. Better man. Well, put your happiness first, because if you don't, they won't. Yo, 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 what's up, y'all? GYBB, get your balls back. WWDD, what would Dante do? The sexual revolution is being podcasted. And I am excited. Now, I know I've said that 500 times before, but this time I mean it. Mm. This is my dude, man. I like a lot of motherfuckers, Harry. And I don't like a lot of other motherfuckers.
This is true.
This is one of the dudes that I really
Well, you did. like a lot of people, but you don't like
I like this dude. But anyway, first of all, how you doing, Harry? You ready?
Absolutely. I'm ready to rock and roll.
You ready to rock absolutely. And roll?
Absolutely. God damn it. I was born ready.
This dude, funny dude. I've known him ever since I've been doing comedy. It's probably about 18 years now, something like that. Funny dude. I don't know how he was surviving out in Dubai, but we'll talk about that.
Get into
too.
That, the adventures.
Give it up for my man Simeon Goodson. Yo, Simeon.
Oh, snap. What's going on, everybody?
Sim Salabim, what's popping?
What's good, brother? How are you?
It's good to see you, family. It's good.
Yes,
to
sir.
See
you too. How are things?
It's good, man. It's good to see you. Good to have you back.
Yes, sir. It's good to be back.
We missed you, brother. We missed you.
Yeah, it's the first time I did it on the Zoom.
Yeah.
We used to go over there with the liquor and all that.
Yeah, we had the whole bar and everything. But
right. We'll I missed that. I don't have no drinks with me.
We'll get that back.
I'm fucking up.
We'll get that. We'll get it. We'll get you back in here soon. I mean, we might That's be moving up. The studio, so.
Okay.
We'll see how that works, too. So
Simeon is the first one who's missed the bar. That's the first time we've heard,
first time someone said, really? Man, I missed the bar.
Oh, man.
We've had other returning guests on Zoom. They complain about, you know, it's not the same comedy-wise. Simeon's like, yeah, fuck all that. That bar, though.
Right. Yeah, some drinks.
And we've had motherfuckers come here in the bar and leave and have car accidents afterwards. Well, we had, what you call it, Gavin McGinnis had a bike accident when he left here.
Bicycle, not a motorcycle, bicycle.
Bicycle just crashed into somebody. So it is, but Sim, anyways.
That's, to our knowledge, the only accident, actually, that anyone's had leaving the studio.
Yeah, well.
Is this one? I didn't know another one, okay.
No, I think that was the only one.
Yeah.
Sim, what's popping, baby? It's good. So, Sim, let me just say... Sim's one of the most underrated funny dudes I know.
Okay.
Always was a funny, funny dude. Never really got the props that I think he should have got. But, you know, hopefully that'll change.
Right, we're still working on it.
Yeah. Well, what else we going to do? What else we going to do, fam? But
Keep pushing. That's it.
And it ain't like we going to quit. You know what I mean?
Right.
It's like I run into motherfuckers. Yo, you still doing that comedy shit? Yo, thanks for that, but yeah, I'm still doing that comedy shit.
And, absolutely.
I need to come see you. Yeah, I'm good.
Yeah, you're not even invited no more.
right, because
you're not welcome there.
Because the worst thing is to have somebody come and then you gotta host them. You gotta include them in, and then and most of the time they mad corny. And they don't, you know, the people don't understand living in this game. You hang out with some of the most intelligent, creative, funny people ever.
Right.
And the rest of y'all suck. You know what I'm saying? I mean, I love y'all.
It makes
y'all,
it hard to do small talk with anybody else. You know?
Yeah. You right. know, I'll be talking to somebody, or Harry will be talking to somebody, and I'll be like, ah, this stinks. This conversation
stinks. It's a lot go. Of small talk, man.
Yeah. yeah.
Don't. I try and avoid it.
But Simeon, I mean, last we left, I mean, Simeon went on a little bit of an adventure. I think it was right before you were leaving to Dubai. What was, how
okay.
did that
I
all
come
I thought
I did about? One when I came back.
Did you? I don't know. Maybe.
You might. I think you did. I did when you came. Yeah, when you first came back.
I did
back.
Like a summertime one. Yeah. Like in the middle of the trip, in the mid-adventure.
Yeah,
so now we post-adventure.
Yeah, and we were, yeah, because we were talking about how, you know, let's say, just like Simeon asked about the bar, Simeon has been known to have a little taste here and there.
Right.
Simeon will turn up.
Right.
Definitely smokes weed, and I couldn't understand how he was in Dubai because it's dry out there, right?
It's not dry. No, it's not dry at all.
No,
I was actually at Abu Dhabi, but it's not dry. There's liquor out there. You need a liquor license to drink. But
oh, you gotta
liquor.
Have a license to actually drink.
Yeah, you're supposed to have a license to drink. So, like, you go to the liquor store and they check your documentation.
Now,
and then you can buy drinks.
What do you need to get the license? Why? How do they determine who has the license, or is just like every adult has to apply for that license?
If you want to drink, you have to apply for it. But it's generally for foreigners. So, like, Muslims aren't supposed to get it because they're not supposed to drink.
Right.
But like, they got a lot of foreigners in the country, so they try and cater to them.
Oh,
like you can't have mad British people anywhere and not let them drink.
They'll go crazy. Yeah.
They'll try to take over.
Is this new or was that always the case? Because I remember when you were saying first, it was like you could get drinks, but it was like underground kind of like.
No, Saudi is like that. Like Saudi's dry. Saudi Arabia and Kuwait was dry. So they don't have no liquor at all. There's liquor in the country, but you gotta like do some illegal shit for it.
Right.
And Abu Dhabi and Dubai, you could just go to a bar. They got bars and stuff.
And you just gotta have a license.
To buy liquor at the liquor store, you do it. The bar, you just go in the bar.
Okay. All right.
And order drinks.
And how did you get out there? What was the give us the background on how you got out there?
Well, my wife was teaching. So she was teaching in New York.
Right.
We were all here in New York, and then she applied for a job to work in Abu Dhabi.
Right.
Just kind of like a let's see what happens type of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And then she got the job. So we said, fuck it. Took a trip. You know, it was just that kind of shit. It was like 2015.
Yeah.
So like Obama's president. You know what I mean?
Thank you.
Shit is thriving.
Feeling
you know
like
what
the
mean?
World
life is good. Right. You got the world in your palm. You're like, fuck it. Let's travel across the world. See what happens. You know what I mean?
My Lambo and my president is black.
Right, exactly. It was that type of timing. So we was good. And then we left, went to Abu Dhabi for 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
Then we went to Wuxi in China for 3 years.
Oh, wow.
And
teaching.
Then
she was teaching there.
She was teaching in China also, yeah. So then in China, we broke up. And then we did about a year in China where we was broke up, but we were still, you know,
were
in
you
the
still
same house
together?
And all that. Yeah,
oh,
yeah,
wow.
It was all because we had kids and stuff, so it was the whole family still in the same house. We wasn't like in the same bed or no shit, but
right.
you know, we was like,
how many
in
kids
the
you
same
have,
house?
Simeon?
Three. Oh, yeah, so we left here with two, picked up a new one on the way.
Oh, jeez.
And now we got three. So then we was doing that, and then we just, you know, we caught back July 2021, so July last year. So it's almost a year, just shy of a year. I'll have been back.
How do you end up coming back? Like, what is it? It's just, did both of you?
Well, her
came
contract.
Back?
Yeah, everybody came back. They went to Houston, and then I came back to New York.
Mm-hmm.
So they were all out in Houston. So I go out there, you know, when I can go see them. And then they came up for spring break. So, you know, summer break, like extended vacations, they come up here.
Right.
You know what I mean? But like weekends during the school year, I'll just pop up down there.
What's the ages?
10, 9, 5.
Right. And what was the thing that broke it up, what do you, in your opinion?
The relationship?
Yeah.
I think we just kind of, I don't know, like we went through all the COVID together. We was on lockdown.
Mm-hmm.
And then We was in China. So like when COVID, normally we come home and we would come home in the summers. But when COVID happened, they shut down the borders. So if we left, we wouldn't have been able to come back into China.
Right.
So we just stayed there the whole summer. Plus, we didn't really know what was going on in New York because shit was getting crazy over here, too.
Yeah.
It wasn't even like coming back was a good idea, you know what I mean? But it was just that type of shit. So we was just kind of like in each other's face for like, you know, 2 years straight with the kids. And then we was in China, so it's not like, you know, we had babysitters and, you know what I mean? Can't drop them off at mom's crib or like that. It was like literally us five. Right. In each other's mouth, you know what I mean? For two years. So I think it just kind of like, I don't know. I think it just kind of got, I think it took its toll, but it was just kind of a thing where it was just like, I don't know. We were just wildly unhappy.
Yeah.
I think personally, I'm not going to speak for her. I think personally, I was just like a little depressed. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it was just like, it didn't seem at the time. I mean, I don't know. It didn't seem like something worth holding on to. You know what I mean? Right. Which is really more of an emotional thing, I think, than anything she did to me. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It was just like nothing. Things just seemed kind of over. You know what I mean?
So let me ask you this. Let me ask you this. Being in China, like you in this whole country, it's like you don't speak Chinese or nothing, right?
Nah.
So, like, how is
the kids do?
Really? Because it was out
there.
They learned while they was out there.
Yeah. They took classes in the school and shit. Yeah. So they were like, we would be like in the store, like, ask him how much this cost, that type of shit. So we was going to like that.
What did that look like, you know, being in COVID in another country, like where it, you know what I'm saying? Like China's like kind of locked down.
Well, remember, like, China locked down first. We broke for Chinese New Year. So they kind of like shut the country down anyway.
Right.
And then what they did was they just kind of extended their holiday. They was like, we just going to not open up after Chinese New Year. Right. And that ran from about like January to about March. So from that time, we was in
New
China.
Years, they
then.
Shut down. What do you
no,
mean?
No, Chinese New Year.
Chinese New Year, they shut down. Like
they do like the big Christmas break, something like that. Where
how
like,
many weeks? How many weeks is it?
They usually do 2-3 weeks, but they just pushed it. You know what I mean? Because of COVID. So ended up being like a month and a half or something like that. Wow. But while we was locked down, everybody in America was like, what the fuck is going on over there?
That
nigga's bugging out. And then we got out of lockdown and then y'all went into lockdown.
Oh, and so it was like March out there.
So we were stuck in China, but we could go outside at that point. You know what I mean? So we could go do shit. We couldn't leave. We couldn't leave and come back. Exactly.
Right.
At this point, you know, I mean, it was weird, but it was weird all over the world. You know what I mean? It wasn't like it was weird in China and fine somewhere else. You know what I mean? Because everybody was going through it. We felt lucky based on the response we saw in America. You know what I mean? Like we were glad we're here.
Right.
But once that kind of wore off and, you know, you start work, you know, you want to like go home. Like that shit is tiring just being in China like all fucking day.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like just being in Chinatown. Think about that. Like you just there all day.
All day.
You know what I mean?
It's like, not like we visit, nowhere else. We go visit, get some
Chinatown.
Duck. We get some duck and
but
come
you're
back.
Still there. No, you can't leave. Right. That's what I'm saying. Like you just there.
I mean, what, everywhere in China is technically Chinatown, Simeon.
Right. That's the OG.
Yeah, that's the old Chinatown. So
that's
what
I'm saying. So imagine that. You're just there. Man. So it's like, you know, and it's like, it's one thing when you're there and you're like, all right, we could just, you know, shoot back home and come back. You know what I mean? For the summer or for a couple weeks or whatever. Right.
Reset.
But when you're just like in there, stuck there, you know what I mean?
Well, Simeon is like, hey, man, I didn't sign up to actually be Chinese. I was hoping
I'm trying to be
a
colonizer.
Yeah. Have some Peking duck and then, you know, whatever. Get some fireworks and then take a break and come back. But
I'm not going to lie, though, because I left Abu Dhabi like kind of arrogant. You know what I mean? Like, this is like, I can handle living in a foreign country.
Right.
Easy, because I've done it already. But China was like, you know, China's like expert level. You know what I mean? Abu Dhabi shit is in English. people speak English. You know what I mean? There's like an expectation that you're going to go someplace and they can communicate to you in English. Right, there's bars, you know what I mean? So they'll deviate from their own culture to accommodate you. China doesn't do that. Yeah. China's like, this is how we do shit. And that's how you, they're like, you can do it this way or, you know, figure it out. Right. Or, or you can get the fuck out. Like,
yeah, I mean, China's not really in need of more people.
They're not known for their accommodation.
Yeah, they're not. They're at full capacity as is. But Abu Dhabi is sort of a tourist area. So I mean, that's
exactly
what they market it as. So they want the English, the American English, and the British
that money,
English.
They want that paper. Yeah. So they went
right.
Let me ask you: Do you think if you had gotten that summer break, you think y'all would still be together, or you think it would have still? It would.
I mean, there's no telling. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
it's really no telling because it might. I don't know. You know what I mean?
Yeah, or it might have delayed the inevitable. Maybe,
or it might have sped it up. You know what I mean? Like I might, because if we came back for the summer, like I might have just not went back to China. You know what I mean? Because I wasn't like enjoying myself in China. Like I was you make it happen. You know what I mean? You find your little bars, you find your crew that you hang out with, and all that shit. But I wanted to come back, like really bad.
Who was your crew in China? How'd you put together a crew in China? What is Simeon's crew
look
like?
Well, you know, we're comedians, so that's how you make friends as a comedian.
So did you do comedy out there or no?
I've done comedy everywhere I've ever been, yeah.
Really? How did that work with the language barrier?
Well, I was doing comedy for foreigners. I wasn't doing. So it would be foreigners Chinese people who spoke English. I didn't do Chinese language comedy.
Okay.
I was just doing, they know it was English language, but it was really for people who had been in China and just hadn't seen something for them.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? So, like, we would go to some small cities and get, like, the whole, you know, foreign population of that city out.
The whole town.
You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like, every British person, every Australian,
What kind of numbers? What kind of numbers with that?
It depends on the city, but you get, like, 80, 100 people, you know what I mean?
Right.
And then, that's, you know, but you do that once and then you go, you know what I mean? You can't have, there's no scene there, you know what I mean? You're not going to stay and
can't
start
go there
night,
every week.
You know what I mean? Exactly. So it's just, it was an event. So it was just, that's what I was doing.
How many little towns did you go to?
I mean, I went to cities and I went to Wuxi, Shanghai, Guangzhou, Beijing, Shenzhen, Xi'an, Wuhan, Nanjing. I don't
know.
I'm
saying it like I know what the fuck it is, but okay. I fuck with Nanjing.
Right.
Yeah.
Nanjing is Nanjing, dope. Yo. Oh, man. Yo, we found this Irish pub in Nanjing called Finnegan's, ran by this Irish dude.
Yeah.
Right? Fucking Alcoholics Anonymous Irish dude. This dude was dead ass sober. Like, really? Never drank a drink in his life, right? But he had this bar, two-story bar, and, like, he would just let us rock in there. Like, he would have AA meetings at the bar. This thing is bugging. You know what I mean? Like, but he would also let us drink. He had fucking mimosas. And it was really, like, a hub for, like, all the foreigners. You know what I mean? So that's the type of shit that happens in China. You know what I mean? Like, as a foreigner, you just set up, like, a hub where foreigners can link up. You know what I mean? And then, you know, I was
like,
DJing and
like
shit.
Like a real,
so
a live Facebook.
But you know what it is? It's like, it's the same way that, like, Chinatown came to exist in other places.
You know what I mean?
It's the same thing. It's just the opposite. You know what I mean? That was
us gathering together. Yeah.
Right. But China is not like, we're going to give you a certain piece of China. You know what I mean? They're not going to give you an American town.
They're gonna be like,
you gotta live with us. You know what I mean? Like, we gotta keep an eye on you.
I would love Americatown.
Americatown would be lit.
You come in there, but hamburgers and French fries.
You gotta go there to buy guns.
Yeah.
Guns, right. Weed, and hooker, and American hookers. You gotta go to Americatown. Yeah. That's crazy, dog. I mean, it's an experience. You originally a Brooklyn dude, right?
Yeah, I'm from Brooklyn.
What part?
Yeah. I'm in East New York now, but we moved around a lot growing up. We was in Crown Heights, we was in Bed-Stuy, Clinton Hill, so you know how that go.
Yeah.
But now we settled in East New York, so White people coming, though. They on the way.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
East New
York. I didn't think they was going to get back here. I didn't think they was going to get over here, but they coming.
Look, they everywhere else, they just starting to creep in East New York. So
right.
It took decades. Yeah.
It took decades, but it's happening.
Here's how you know they're coming when they start putting the marble curbs in. When they start working on the
curbs. We got the pre-colonizers. We got the Christopher Columbuses coming through. Staking it out.
The hipsters.
Staking it out.
Unicycle and a top hat.
We're not up to that yet. We up to just like plain looking white dudes.
Regular white dudes.
Walking around, just looking suspicious.
Need a place to stay.
Right, looking for a building to buy.
It's crazy. So you basically was just doing international comedy, basically, like just, you know, trying to relate to these motherfuckers from internationally, just right. Everybody who spoke English.
Right. Pretty much, yeah.
How's the broads out there? How's the broads?
In China, well, after we broke up, I just went like full slut mode.
Yeah.
Like in China, wild. But here's the thing about China, all the dudes in China is there for Chinese women.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like they go there for that. So that just left like this whole population of foreign women who are just being completely ignored.
Like
who nobody's paying attention. British, exactly. British, yeah. American.
So everybody got
African,
the yellow fever.
Jamaican.
They got the yellow fever.
And then it's just me fucking with the foreign girls, you know. Like going crazy, like
yeah,
it was dope.
When you say everyone's there for Chinese girls, do you mean like the Chinese men or
like
the foreigners that come over?
Like Russ Maneve, Harry.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like Masavia.
Okay. I don't know who that is, but I'm assuming
they're
white dudes.
You don't remember Masavia?
That might have been before his yeah.
I know you know Russ Maneve, the comic.
I don't think I do.
We used to do that over at the Boston at Comedy Village and stuff. Back in the air, it was a long time ago. It don't matter.
Yeah, I smoke a lot.
You and I both. yeah, that's crazy though.
So you find yourself single all of a sudden in the middle of China, right? And so what do you do to go out and date? I mean, I guess you just
nah.
Go
but
to
I was single. And... I was black and I was doing comedy, so it was just like this weird, crazy shit they'd never seen before. You know what I mean?
They were like, "You're not Stephon Marbury."
My experience is not comparable to like other people's experience.
Right.
Because I was out there just like hustling show. I was doing the same shit we do out here, but in China. You know what I mean? The difference is everybody does it here. So you call the bar, you're like, "Yo, can I get a show?" And they're like, "Oh, nah, we've done that before. Fuck you." But like you do it out there, and they're like, "What? We've never heard of this." And you're like, "Yeah." And, you know, just sell the show. The same shit we do here when you go to the back room at a bar and
just less people like, doing it.
Wow.
Right. So it was only me doing it.
Wow, nobody. So you were like, you became the comedy hub dude, where all these.
I wasn't the hub because I was doing it for myself. I wasn't trying to put people on. I was bouncing from city to city doing shows. You know what I mean?
It was just you headlining, or you had a couple of dudes you was rocking with.
No, usually you just work with whoever's there because that's more. You know, you're just increasing the budget when you add people on it.
Yeah, you know what I mean?
Traveling and all that shit. So I was really out there because I hadn't felt it. Like I wasn't allowed to work. My visa was there as a spouse visa, so it's not like I could get a job and have something to do all day. I was with my son all day. You know what I mean? Yeah. He wasn't in school or nothing. It was just me and him holding it down all day. So I was just like grinding. You know what I mean? I was like I said, I think I had a little depression. You know what I mean? I had a therapist out there.
Yeah,
I was just doing shit to like keep my mind busy. Like I was going to the gym. You know what I mean? Like I was never just sitting there watching TV. You know what I mean?
Right.
I was like, just trying to occupy my mind.
I was getting ready to say, you look good, my nigga. You look good.
Thank you, man. I appreciate it.
You look like you've been hitting it.
That's the pressure muscles. You know how that goes. That's 5-6 hours at the gym with that depression.
Well, because you're like, well, I could go to the gym or I could sit here and watch this Chinese television that I don't understand.
Right.
I guess I'll go lift these weights again.
Fucking another bottle of liquor. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
I could drink. And oftentimes, you just end up doing both.
Yeah, you just get this.
You just start a little later because you went to the gym already. You know what I mean?
You fit it in. So, you get it in.
Right.
When Simeon talks about getting it in, he means the drinking. He's like, I get it in today.
Yeah, I get it.
I'm talking about all of it.
He goes, I did 5 reps today. At the gym? He goes like, what now?
I don't count at the gym.
Yeah.
What's funny is, Simeon, like, when we were younger, Simeon was the the dude that I spoke to, when I would be counseling dudes, I'd be like, y'all motherfuckers, you're like, you're small. Like, I would tell it, like, so a lot of times, it's funny, I was counseling this dude, and he's going through my program, because I got it all developed now. I got a whole program I put dudes through to make them the Don, okay, right? So, but I've been doing it so, with so many people that have went through the man school college, right, that I could, even on the body language, and what I was realized, I met this dude, actually had, oh, you wasn't there, dude came up to, he came up to see me at Comic Strip Live, and he was like, yo, he had got a couple consultations, because I was doing, that was my hustle, like, I was doing these consultations, and I had dudes calling me from all over the world, like, Dubai, Wales, Australia, just on the phone, telling niggas how to, I even had a dude from Florence, and I'm like, nigga, you can't get no pussy in Florence? Like,
right. Come on.
You're Italian, nigga. Like, but it shows you how universal this whole Will Smith syndrome is. You know,
uh-oh.
Niggas get the business, and they get worn down. And so the kid came up to Comic Strip, and he was like, I said, yo, he was like, you know, I'm having a really problem going to the next level, blah, blah, blah. And I said, because what I was saying to him, I said, you small. And I didn't mean size small. I said, but you're afraid to take up space. Like, your body language is like, you don't feel like you belong here. So you're,
I went through a lot of that.
You know,
you're
like,
you told me a lot.
Yeah, and the thing is, Sim, what's crazy, and you don't know this, but I always used you as an example, like, of not giving a fuckedness. Like, and I've even said that to Harry. I was like, you don't understand. It's like, because Harry would always be like, yo, I don't want to be an asshole. I don't want to be this. And not that you're an asshole, but I'm saying, young Simeon, which is interesting because it's even looking at you now, you still take up space, but you way mellowed out. Like, you know, Sim, you was right. Wild.
Right. That's what I hear. I don't have Sim full recollection.
I was like, you don't understand. When motherfuckers don't give a fuck, you could take up more space because you're not really looking for this. You're not looking for this acceptance.
Right.
You're not trying to, like, other... And I don't want to say this the wrong way because, you know, Sim, I love you, bro, but it's... There's motherfuckers that are always worried about stepping on somebody's toes. And you're not a reckless dude that just tromps off. But, I mean, you took up space. When Sim hits the room, you knew Sim was in the room. It was like...
Right.
It was... Right. And so I used to always say, yo, like,
Simmy. It's funny because people's always like, yo, you got to chill out. And I'm like, all right, you know. Like, you know, like, if you only knew. You know what I mean? So it's like, yeah, I'll give you that.
When now?
Yeah, I'm talking about now. Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Oh, yeah. People still tell me to calm down and chill out.
They don't know the
like
pure
that.
Uncut.
Cool.
They don't know the
right,
pure
but you
uncut
know, that's
Simian.
Just, right, right. That's fucking, you know. It Dude, is what it is. I'm not
I'ma,
mad at it.
I'm going to tell you what that, what's weird with that is, a lot of times that's jealousy,
right?
Of you being comfortable in your skin,
right? But it's like, I'm not here to fight niggas' battles for them. You know what I mean? You need me to calm down. I'll calm down.
Right,
go
right.
Somewhere else and be wild. You know what I mean? Like, there's a whole earth out here. I don't need to be loud here. If it's making you uncomfortable, I'll go. You know what I mean?
Right, right.
Or if I need to be here, I'll quiet down.
But what's funny is there's a whole different you know what I'm saying? Your whole shit is like so like. Confident but chill, but just like right on, you know what I'm saying? Right,
right.
In the pocket where you
I appreciate it.
Yeah, it's
thank you, man.
It's real cool. So, but I used to always use you as I would say because like Harry was a dude who would be like,
yeah,
not anymore, he's an asshole now.
Yeah,
but,
that's fine, that's fine.
But
that's
used to be like,
works.
He's always be like, yo, I don't want, he'd be talking to some chick.
Yeah, it's very shy and energy, not confident, and, you know, acting like people were doing me a favor by talking to me, and, you know, I didn't want to make any waves because I thought waves were a problem.
Right.
You know, and I didn't realize that, no, you got to stand out. You have to be comfortable. Not even to make a scene, but just I belong. You know, not right. these, what have like, any I, of these I other people done that, that I feel like I'm lesser than, which I shouldn't. You know, I should be, I belong.
Right.
That's what I had to figure out.
Yeah. Yeah. I really,
right. You're here because somebody wants you here.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And if right. they don't, fuck them. And if they, right. And the difference is the maturity that I see in you. It's like, all right, it's too much for you. I'll go.
Right. It's more that. It's like, it's too much for you. Like, and I get that. You know what I mean? I get it. It can be a lot. So, you know. But I just, you know, people always want to chill. You know what I mean? People like, yo, calm down. And then next time they see me, they're like, oh, we chilling. Like, oh, you know, so like, I'm not right. Niggas want me to wild out. Like, you know, they try. You know, a lot of it is people want to, like, control how I wild out. You know what I mean?
They want to
show you to my friends type shit. Like, let me introduce you to Sim. And he's going wild out for us. I'm like, nah, I'm not wild out there. Like, I was, you know. I'm not doing that right now.
But give me time. I'm
right.
You gotta. You gotta wait for it. It'll happen.
Right.
It's not our command. Just
all right. It's like an eclipse.
Yeah. It's like hunting a deer. You can't. It'll show up. Right. Or just be in the area. Just be in the vicinity of the simian good, and you will. You will get the simian Goodson experience.
Here, isn't there?
Look. Yeah. You relax. Stand here with these apples. Don't worry. The buck is coming. He can just. When's he come, son? Just hold the apples and shut up, nigga.
I mean, I was dead ass getting paid to do that in China. Like, I would just throw parties and DJ and shit, and like they would just come out. You know what I mean? Because like first I was a black dude DJing, and that makes your hip hop club in China look crazy.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? The photos from that look crazy. They're like, yo, we got a real live black dude.
From Brooklyn.
Right. From Brooklyn, right. They like,
you out there,
this club.
Holla
like,
this club is Brooklyn. The truth. Everybody right. like, nah, but
they
we
clapping
be...
politely. Right.
Did you do
like,
any
I
of the
made money wilding out. Did I made you, money going
did
fucking
you do
crazy,
any
so.
Like, hey, you know, is Wu Hang in the house? Any of that? Like
Gang Jing in the
nah.
building.
I mean, yeah, you do that, but you do that with the foreigners though. Because the Chinese people don't party. Like we party, you know what I mean? Like Chinese people sit there and drink and listen to the music, but they won't like get up and move around and shit.
Right, right.
So like with the foreigners though, you'd be like, yo, what city y'all from? All that dumb shit. You know what I mean? And people were clapping. Yeah, you know, we have a budget, but when you international, you can start going city where you from, you start going country where you from. Uh-huh. You know what I mean? And then when you start getting the parties with like that, when the Africans come out, it goes crazy. You know what I mean? Because Africans dance. When music's on, they dance it. You know what I mean? So if you got a party with a bunch of Africans, this shit is lit all night.
Yeah, we
all
we,
fucking night.
We seeing it on Instagram every day.
Right, right. Crazy. Right. That's what they do in their living room. Imagine when they all get together.
Son, I went to an African party. First of all, that shit is like 185 BPMs. Their music is like
right.
And they go like that forever.
They
rock
all night.
Out.
All
but
night.
I was telling this dude, I said, Doug, you know, no disrespect. I said, I'm not disrespect. I said, but you're not taking up space. And right. and he was like, well, you, no, I you know, no, respectfully, I disagree. I said, because you're not really comfortable in your skin. And I could feel that you're not comfortable in your skin because of your body posture. You're just the way you stand, the way you sit. You don't feel like you belong there because you're not really comfortable with who you are. And women never find that attractive. They, even if you get a demure nigga, like a real cool nigga, like the nigga from the Dos Equis nigga, you know what I'm saying? He's still a nigga that takes up, you know what I'm saying? He quite right. takes up, you gotta take up space because you.
You gotta piss on your trees.
Yeah, you gotta belong there.
You gotta piss on your trees. Yeah, you know, let niggas know you was there.
And the
let niggas
the,
know you'll be back.
The Dos Equis nigga, he may not piss on the tree, but he'll take a spray bottle and just.
You know what I mean?
He just squirt it a little, like, what are you doing?
Yeah, his guy
don't
doing.
Worry.
Yeah, his guy pisses on the tree for him.
Yeah,
he's like, pee on this one for me.
So it's interesting, and I've always used you as an example of a dude. The last time I saw you, we was on McDougal. I don't know if you remember this. You had a 32 ounce styrofoam cup.
I can already tell I'm not going to remember this story.
Yeah. And you saw me. You grabbed me because Sim's taller than me. Grabbed me. You buried me in your chest. Kissed me on the head. Right? I was like, what up, Sim?
Yeah, this all sounds very accurate. I'm not gonna lie to you.
Which is weird because I've seen it several times, and you're like, "Where do you get a styrofoam cup in this bar? They don't have." You came in with that because they don't have no bar carries styrofoam cups.
So when you came back, what you call it? Because you know what Kim was booking the shows, and right. She was like, "You know, Sim." I was like, "Oh, fuck yeah." She was like, he good? I go, fuck yeah. That is funny as shit. So it was like, I was like, oh, man, I'm happy to have you on. But I want you to know how I've always seen you as that dude, that kind of confidence and stuff like that. And it's real dope because I'm always telling dudes that, you know, the other thing is never no shade. Like, never no catty shit, no...
Right, that's the worst shit.
Yeah, Sims never like some bitch-ass shit. Just a good dude. And, right. And I don't think that a guy...
I think it's because, you know, niggas got real problems. Like, yeah. Comedy's not a real problem. Like, it's money and all that, it's career and all that, but it's not it's not nothing that's going... Yeah. I don't got to watch my back when I go outside fucking with comedy. You know what I mean?
It's not like having a pistol in your face to put things in perspective.
Exactly.
You'd be like, oh, I can't.
It's not like being detained by the Chinese government for fucking performing illegally. You know what I mean? So I think I can handle rumors.
That's dope. Was the breakup difficult or was it just kind of mutual?
Oh, no, it was like catastrophic. Really? That shit was crazy. Yeah. It was just bad. Cause I mean, we was just like in that space together. You know what I mean? I'm out there. You know, we both know what the other one doing. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it was just like, it was crazy. I wanted to leave. I wanted to leave China. But then we figured for the kids, it'd be better.
Yeah.
If we all just left together. But that's what I wanted to do. Like, I wanted to be out. Like, I didn't want to be there with her every day. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So,
yeah, it's here's the other thing. It's what I think I understand this more than ever because I don't know if you noticed, but I had a son. Okay. I got a son now. I married somebody from England. Came here,
was a
fan of the show, and then went on a trip to England I financed the trip to England, and then was like, I'm not coming back.
Oh, wow.
So my son is in England. I haven't seen him in, I don't know, since September. So I'm trying to set some things up out in England so I can work out there and then go see him and stuff. But it was like, I think also it was part of the pandemic. It was during the pandemic. But it was also, like I was 52, around 52 when I met her. And I always say, never make decisions, never give emotions a seat at the table. You know what I'm saying? You never make good decisions on emotional. And it wasn't that the emotion wasn't, I got this chick, because that was never, me getting chicks was never a problem.
An issue, right.
But being 52, not having any children, and then she was pregnant, and I was like, yo, what am I gonna do? Like, I'm here counseling dudes and teaching dudes how to be men, and I don't even got my I don't even have the legacy to kind of move this, because I'm not a religious dude, but I believe that immortality is moving your DNA to the next generation.
Okay.
And I didn't have that, and I had no real prospect because I kept turning, I've always had an opportunity to do that, but I never thought that somebody was good enough to have my seed. You know what I mean?
Okay.
And then I met this girl who it was funny because you know Aaron Berg, right?
Yeah.
So Aaron and him, they had their baby, their girl, and she was here, and she came, we hooked up, whatever, she was staying with me, and I saw her with their baby, like the minute their baby walked in, she couldn't see nothing else but this baby, right? Wow. Like the maternal, just, and it didn't matter what we was doing, we was partying, we was drinking, she was running around with the baby, talking. And I was like, wow, she's a dope mom. And even though we had our, you know, the separation or whatever, whatever, she's just a dope mom. Like, when it comes to a mom, her focus,
right,
her laser focus is. And I was like, I want to do comedy. I don't mind taking, you know, I got enough paper that I could take care of somebody. I could, but I need somebody, I need to know that my seed is right, well taken care of. And right, she was so attentive in that. But what I didn't realize was that there was, I wasn't in that, you know, I wasn't in that equation. You know what I mean? It was so focused. And not that I'm not a needy dude, but yo, I am the nigga paying the bills. You know what I'm saying? Like, you,
right,
you know, whatever. So it was like, and then she couldn't really make any friends. Which was also because she was so laser focused.
Right.
So she didn't really make no friends, and then COVID hit, and so she was really depressed about that and probably some postpartum. And but the thing was, she didn't say, I'm going to go and stay. It was like, I you know, it was like the switcheroony, and right, then you, yo, I'm not coming back. And I was like, well, I have friends here and family. It would just be better for his socialization. And I was like, better than being with his father? Like,
right.
What he, but also, she's younger. Like, she's right, 30 years old. So she don't understand that the friends that, you know, there's niggas I grew up around here that I don't even fuck with. Like, you can't have 30 friends.
Right.
You know what I mean? There's right, no such thing as 30 friends. So she had a whole, because she was like a club kid. She had a friends in Berlin and friends.
A squad,
friends,
yeah.
And then, yeah, when you come back and then you have your kid, and my little dude is like me. Like, he's 2.5, but he, you know, you go to a gay couple that got the minimalist, you know, the minimalist furniture, and my little dude with his mitts is smacking your 80-inch TV. Nigga, that ain't, ain't nobody that cute. You know what I mean?
Right.
So you got, so it's just, you know, I'm 55, and it's like, you've seen so much that you go, and I could see where she was at when I had a squad, and I was running around stripping. It was 18 niggas, and
right,
Yum Yum, and Georgie Boy, you know what I'm saying? It was just niggas in the street, wilding out. And I know that all goes away, because when life happens and you grow up, you realize that things, what's important is different.
Right.
And people ain't really your friends.
Also, when you move up and you go to a different level, not everyone moves up with you. Not everyone has the ability or desire to move with you. And you change your life in such a way. Even when people have kids, some people don't. The same friends aren't going to be your same friends. The same friends at a successful level aren't going to be the same friends, because they don't have those skills or desires. So sometimes they can't hang. Or if you develop intellectually into something else, if you further your path in life, and sometimes you can't have the same conversations with those people. They might not just not be interested. So unfortunately, you shed some of those people along the way.
Yeah, a lot of them. And then a lot of them, you'll be like, I'm not fucking with this clown no more. Like,
right.
You'd be like, this thing is corny. I mean, me and Harry, we've been friends for almost 20.
Yeah.
And there's sometimes we go a month without seeing each other. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Or when it's what up, yo, love. Now, if he needs something, I got him.
Sure.
Or I need something, he got me.
Yeah.
But I think the measure, it's interesting how that changes, the dynamic of that changes.
Sure.
And because
having kids changes it, marriages change it, relationship changes it a little bit. It's not always the same pattern, and some people can't adjust to that.
And then also growing up, like, running the streets, like you said, I'm not worried about somebody putting a hot one in me. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm not worried about getting two beans in the cabbage. So whatever problems I got, it's manageable. You know what I mean?
There's very few surprises here.
Yeah, yeah. And then when you're, but if you fucking with somebody that's 30, it's all new. You know what I mean? And then the funny thing is that you have this platform. Yeah, yeah. You have this platform where, you know, tens of thousands of people listen to you and they hang on your every word. It's not a time that we don't get where motherfuckers send me a message, yo, you changed my life, right? And then your chick who was a fan of yours, all of a sudden now you don't know nothing. Like, nothing you say is valid because you're too close to it. You know what I mean?
Also it becomes a situation that the perspective I find changes when kids get involved, especially in relationships or for a woman, especially because you have those motherly instincts that kick in. So I have found that women, I always thought that, okay, the kids' welfare is the number one priority. That is expected. Like, you know, a woman is always worried about a child being in danger, and that is her number one priority. What I didn't also realize is that women consider the child being uncomfortable a danger or an emergency, and that's where you have to balance it out, because like they think the discomfort is a problem, and that becomes a priority. So it also gives them a sense of authority to an extent, because they do know more about motherhood than we do. But there's a weird balance where it starts to bleed over, like, oh, you all of a sudden you don't know shit.
Yeah.
Because I'm a mom. You don't know shit.
The other thing I was thinking about, I remember when you was telling me you was going to Dubai, right? And anybody else, I would have worried about them because you know, you went there because your wife had a job, right?
Right.
But so a lot of dudes would get smothered by that because of the fact that, yo, I'm following my wife. And with you, I was like, you ain't gonna stop Sim Shine. Like, I knew that's in Dubai, in China, in, you know, Lithuania, in the Ukraine.
Right. I mean, honestly, before I left, like, I was kind of like, I mean, like you said, I was really out of control. You know what I mean? Like, I was like, you know what I mean? Because I had kids at that point. You know what I mean? I was still partying. Like, I was outside. Like, you know, doing shows, and then you know how that go.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And then I was, like, working. I had a city job during the day. Mm-hmm. So I was just, like, grinding it out. Like, I was working all day, doing shows all night, partying after shows, getting 2-3 hours of sleep, doing that shit, you know, 5 days a week.
Yeah.
Going out. Weekends come. You know what I mean?
Until you crash. So you
I didn't crash. Yeah. I didn't crash, but I felt like it was imminent. You know what I mean? Like that kind of contributed to me leaving America.
Yeah.
I was I was like, I could stay here and keep bugging out until something happens.
Something's going.
Because
I
had like crashed the car. You know what I mean? No, I didn't crash the car. I had got a DUI. You know what I mean? So it was like, you know, shit was starting to go.
Yeah,
left.
Yeah, yeah. You could.
So
feel
like it was like a contributing factor. I was like, I could use a break. You know what I mean? From just everything I know in New York City, you know what I mean? And it was crazy because, like, while I was gone, like, my cousin passed and two of my best friends passed. So it was just like, you know, it was like, there's a good chance if I was here, I would have been with one of them, you know what I mean? At some point, doing some wild shit.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
It was just like that. It was kind of just, I needed a break from me. Well, not from me, from
well, the other, you.
I need a change of pace. You know what I mean? Like things had, I needed a reset. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
So like I went out there and I think that kind of had, cause you know, I was with my wife at that time while I was bugging out, wilding and all that stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
So then, you know, now we talking 6 years later, you know what I mean? Post-COVID, I haven't really been, you know, I definitely haven't been partying like cocaine and shit.
Yeah,
I might smoke some weed in the summer when I come home.
Yeah.
I'm drinking, but it's not like that. You know what I mean? So this is like 6 years later. It's like, we both not the same person.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean? There's kids here. There's three kids here now. They're big. They're not babies. You know what I mean? When you're in your 30s with a little baby, you know what I mean? That shit is fun. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
take it to a restaurant, show niggas. Yeah. Yo, this my, this you know what I mean? Right. Yeah. Like, yeah, this is my little third time with me.
So Sibian was treating his kids like the way that dude treats the boa constrictor. You just bring it around, like, yeah, right. You can pet it.
But
yeah,
I mean, that's pictures. Yeah, dead ass, like, as a black dude, like, you get, like, I could walk around my kids, they can get everything for free.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean? Because, like, people love that shit. They love, like, I could walk in a restaurant, eat food, and be like, oh, we had to pay? And they'll be like, oh, no, it's cool, black. Man, you got it. You know what I mean? Like you, I could get away with murder with the kids around. You know what I mean? Like, I can do anything I want with the kids. Like, people will fucking watch them for me. You know what I mean? Like, all types of shit. Like, me and the kids, like, we get shit. We get free shit. You know what I mean? We be outside. Anytime I'm with the kids. The kids love it with me.
Yeah.
But it was just like, you know, now the kids is big. You know what I mean? They like preteen. The oldest one's like a preteen. You know what I mean? So it's just like, it's not the same.
Does he get how you live? Like, does he understand that you live, or is he on that, like, old?
Oh, my daughter's the oldest one.
Oh, okay.
So I think, I mean, they know I work at night, right, you know what I mean?
Right.
And they know, like, you know what I mean? Like, they've seen shows.
Yeah.
And, like, so they know what's happening, but they don't know. Like, they never been to, like, the after party.
No.
It's funny. You know what I mean? They never been to the hang, but they seen shows and DJ sets and stuff.
It's funny because, like, this is my second marriage. So my first marriage, my wife then had a 2-year-old, and I raised her, and I remember we were going to my wife then was smoking hot, and I was like, I was young and in the gym, I was still stripping, right? It was just, and she was we would go to parent teachers meeting, and she would be like, "Well, don't be kissing each other." Like, and I was like, "Yo, you don't even understand how hot me and your mom's is." Like, I had to say, "Yo, when we go to parent teacher, you check out everybody else's mom, and then tell me what it is." First of all, I'm rolling up with a 1300 Hayabusa. Like, everybody else is in the minivan, like, you're bugging.
Yeah.
But it's just the, I'm wondering if they get a feel of, you know, of how live you are, or is it still like they get it but don't get it? You know what I'm saying?
I mean, they get it. And I still turn up with them at their little functions, you know what I mean? Like, with their friends and shit, you know what I mean? So I'm still turning up. Like,
and
their
friends are like, oh, yo, daddy is. Your dad is great. Your dad is dope, you know?
Right.
We're going to do something.
No,
We
got, because we're doing 5:30. We're doing the
okay.
Other
day, so all right.
Wrapping up with Simeon.
Shit.
I fucked it up.
Nah, don't worry about it.
I'm sorry.
Nigga, you back. We'll just have you back on. You ain't going nowhere.
All right, let's do it. I'm with it.
Sim, man, it's good to see you, bro. Really.
Yeah, man. Thank you for having me.
You know what I'm saying? I know you feel the love, fam. I know you
feel
the love.
Of course, of course.
I think I'm going to go out tonight, go hang out, turn up with you a little bit.
Yeah, man. I'm going to go lay down right now. You know, I'm a little older.
We got to do a nap, right?
You're doing a pre-party nap now? You pre-gaming?
I am,
that's your pre-gaming now?
Well, I'm going to drink a beer, take a nap, and then go. Eat some rice and bread.
You really prepping.
Right. I know how to do this. I've been
some
doing
egg
this a
whites.
Long time. Right. I've been doing this a long time. I know
Simeon
exactly
is the Jerry Rice of partying.
Right. See? It's all about your training.
Yeah.
You can't just jump in the ring.
What you got going on, Sim? You got anything going
April 29th, I'm doing my talk show, debuting my little talk show comedy show. It's called What's Really Good Though. It's at the Gutter on 200 North 14th Street in Brooklyn.
April
29th, 9 p.m. Yeah. Follow me on Instagram, Sim de la Creme. And that's it. Nothing crazy. You know,
love
see
you,
me
fam.
In the streets.
Love you.
Love you, man. Love you too, man.
For real. Harry, talk to me.
All my stuff is at Harry Turjanian. That's it. And just the main thing is sign up for Patreon, because we're doing bonus episodes and different things like that. Listener mail, bonus content over at patreon.com.
Yeah, and keep listening out, because we're going to be going live. We're going to be going live and doing calls and stuff. Y'all know how to get me. Google me, bitch. GYBB, get your balls back. WWDD, what would Dante do? The Sexual Revolution is being podcasted. Yo, I love y'all. Peace. We out.